right. I think the first issue that we need to resolve was raised by you, Mr. Deegan, at the end of the day yesterday in terms of whether a search warrant was needed for these jail phone calls. Anything else you want to say with regard to that?
This is referring to the Commissioner of Corrections, and that I was sentenced to the Department of Corrections last year, and that regardless of where I'm housed, I am still considered under them, because at the regional jail there are persons that are under the Department of Corrections, and federal inmates are also housed there. So it doesn't matter where you're housed, it's how you're classified.
Your Honor, I think Code Section 3125E is clear that in the regional jails a warrant is not needed. And I think that code section sets it out that that there need to be posted signs, but no warrants needed to use them for purposes of prosecution.
Mr. Deegan cites 17. And that is under the chapter of Division of Corrections. And of course it says in there the primary purpose of the Division of Corrections is to enhance public safety by providing for the incarceration and care of convicted offenders who have been sentenced. It goes on in 25.1.3 to list institutions managed by the Commissioner of Corrections. And it does not list any regional jails there. And then when we look at and that's under the the article relating to West Virginia Regional Jail and Correctional Facility Authority, it has a separate one that relates to monitoring of inmate phone calls. And so while I understand what Mr. Deegan's saying in terms of that he was that he had been convicted of a felony, he was not at that point in the custody of the department of the department or division. I'm not sure what it is. Division of Corrections. He was at that point. He was on home confinement, and then there was a motion filed to revoke it. But he was not in a Division of Corrections facility. He was in the regional jail, and he was, of course, under I think at that point it would have been a warrant. So the court would find then that 3125E is the statute that would govern phone calls. Now, whether they're appropriate under that statute, I don't know. I mean, we've got to depend on the evidence. But
is there a copy that I could have of that statute to see?
Sure. Can you? Yeah. All right. Are we ready for the jury?
Your Honor, one issue I want to take up. I know we discussed the jail phone calls and the redacted copies, but the defendant also mentioned the video yesterday. I don't know that we'll get to it this morning, but in case he had said he didn't want any redacted copies of that, I just wanted to have some direction in case we get to that this morning to make sure to know which copy to use.
Mr. Deegan?
The redacted version that he's attempting to use, he said that he was cutting out parts that were prejudicial to me, and yet we have some extremely prejudicial evidence being presented, as Steve Stevens will say that I'm on home confinement. And my contention has been from the beginning that that first off, the authenticity and the completeness of any digital media that's being used should be used in its entirety and not subject to arbitrary cuts. He's the one that's introducing it. It should be played in its entirety, as it is a it was an entire interview, not a bits and pieces strung together document, or it was a one-time interview all at once. It wasn't, you know, 20 different things edited together. And what he's trying to do is cut bits and pieces of it out, which would be more prejudicial than the pieces being left in. And if he's going to use the redacted, I will, of course, during my presentment, play the entire thing.
Well, just so that you understand what's going on, many times interviews, either just an interview with the police or a tape-recorded interview or videotaped interview, there are things in there that may be prejudicial to a defendant, and it's very common for those to be what's referred to as redacted out or edited out, so that certain information that might be prejudicial is not there. I think that's what he was trying to do, but if you don't want him out, then that's fine.
No, because what he's claiming was prejudicial was actually prejudicial. It looked bad on them.
Okay.
It wasn't bad on me at all, because I'm fully open with what I do, and you know, the jury pool has already seen me on TV in orange, so there, you know, the prejudicial part is out the window, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you made that statement. There's no evidence that this jury pool has seen you on TV.
It is the media storm around this digitally is outrageous and extreme at this point. It is everywhere.
Okay. All right.
I also want to let the record reflect I'm handing the defendant the grand jury testimony for 26.2 material.
All right. And, Mr. Deegan, you were just given a copy of...
Yes. I'll review that in a second. And he never did return over the other 20 pages, he said, because at the end of the transcript, just in case he gives them to the jury, because he's changed his mind on lots of things here, saying he wasn't using it and then he turned around and did, the transcript that I have at the end says end of telephone call on like page 60-something, and then he said there was another 20 pages, and then it seems like there's some funny stuff going on there.
I'm not using it, but I have no problem handing those remaining pages over to the defendant.
Okay. All right, are we ready for the jury?
Yes, Your Honor.
I had one other thing.
Okay.
The cameras.
What about it?
Because of the amount of publicity already surrounding and the fact that the jury's not sequestered, I would ask that it be removed at this time. And that's simply, I mean, this case is all over the place, and this is only going to make it worse. And they do go home at night.
The jury's informed by the court to not look at news media outlets, social media, that type of thing. It's a public trial. I have no problem with the cameras, but I would leave it to the court.
Well, at this point. There's been no indication that that the jury's going to see anything. I always warn a jury, whether it's in a high-profile case or a boring condemnation case, not to gather any information about this case outside of the courtroom every time that we recess. And so it would certainly be my intention to do that. We can even I can emphasize more for them not to do that each time that we break. So at least at this point, you know, it is a public trial. So we will, the request to have the camera removed is denied. Anything else?
One final issue, Your Honor. I'd move to sequester the witnesses. The state's witnesses are sequestered. I'm just not sure. We've talked about the defendant's witnesses being subpoenaed, but I'm not sure which ones are showing up or which ones are going to testify, and I would move that they're sequestered.
Any position on that?
Half my witnesses that I called, you didn't issue subpoenas for, and I'm supposed to take it upon, I mean, if he's going to sequester mine, I want them sequestered as well. Separated from each other. I mean, I know that they're all in one room together. Yesterday, I saw them walking out to go to lunch. That's a serious problem when it comes to witnesses being together.
The motion to sequester witnesses is granted, which means that the witnesses cannot be in the courtroom when evidence is being presented, with the potential sanction being that witness may not be able to testify. Each side has the obligation to make sure that their witnesses are not in the courtroom. So, Mr. Deegan, I mean, I don't know who you're intending on calling. I don't know who's here. But if any of your witnesses are in the courtroom, you need to have them step outside until after they've testified.
I would ask that exclude Trooper Williams, who will be sitting with me at council table.
Yeah, that always works. That's always the. But he needs to, if he's going to testify, he needs to testify first.
I'll have him sit with. He'll testify second. I'll have him sit outside until he testifies.
Okay. All right. Are we ready for the jury?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
A couple things, or at least one. Of course, you see a camera in the room. The media is instructed, and they followed it for as long as I'm aware, not to photograph any of the jurors or show any of your faces or anything like that. So just wanted to, I don't know whether you're worried about that or not, but sometimes jurors are, and so I wanted to let you know that. Madam Clerk, would you please swear the jurors?
Yes, sir. Please stand. Raise your right hand to be sworn. Do you solemnly affirm that you will well and truly try and a true deliverance make between the state of West Virginia and Thomas Deegan and a true verdict render according to the law and the evidence? So help you God.
Thank you.
Rogers?
On September the 14th, 2015, Thomas Deegan took part in a conference call. He led the conference call, and he was trying to convince the listeners to take up arms, go to Charleston, West Virginia, and overthrow the West Virginia state government. He wanted them to go to the Capitol and throw out the officials. And he wanted to do this on September the 24th, 2015, 10 days after this conference call.
He told the listeners, we're at war. He scolded United States citizens for not taking up arms against their government. He said there are other countries that don't have guns. They're taking over their government with rocks and sticks. And we have guns here, and we're not doing anything. He told them the entire world is under conquest right now. He said the soil has to be taken over, and it starts in West Virginia. He said, we're looking for the removal of specific persons from specific locations. He said, the more bodies that get here, the cleaner and quicker it'll be. And he tells them to Google Earth, certain locations in Charleston. He tells them to Google Earth, the National Guard Armory on Coonskin Drive, if you're familiar with Charleston, just up the street from the Capitol. He tells them to Google Earth places like the West Virginia State Police, Sheriff's Department. He says, because those are going to be the only ones close enough to do anything, and those of you with any military experience, I think you know how to counteract that. He tells them, you have to remember, we're at war here. He says, once West Virginia is taken, there's a structure in place to take over the nation. The FBI found out about this, the West Virginia State Police, and they took it very seriously. They made sure and had people in place to secure the Capitol and make sure that everyone was safe. That's part of the evidence that you're going to hear, making terroristic threats. Thomas Deegan also said this.
See the police coming and pulling up in a vehicle, I suggest you shoot them.
With that evidence, at the end of the day, at the end of all the evidence, I'm going to ask that you find this defendant, Thomas Deegan, guilty of making terroristic threats.
Mr. Deegan?
Okay, well, he paints a beautiful picture here, and as the evidence will clearly show, he has exaggerated things, taken things out of context. I am a man of God. I've lived in his principles and authorities since I was born. I've taken care of my children. I've looked out for my community. I've never harmed anyone or their property at any time ever in my lifetime. I set about in 08. After some problems with family court, to find out why our children were being put last in this country. So I started studying the law. I started studying the Constitution to find out what went wrong. Something went wrong. Last year, with two other gentlemen, we filed suit against the state in the Supreme Court for violations of their Constitution. Simply seeking a return to the constitutional rule of government. Every day there are people in court like me that are forced to sit here and say, I did not break that law. And yet every day the government has been proven over and over to break their own founding law, the one that constricts them to certain things, and that is the Constitution for the United States of America. So we filed suit case number 15-0491. We adjudicated last year. As the founding fathers had said, the judiciary was supposed to be the savior of our freedoms and liberties. And yet the West Virginia Supreme Court of Appeals decided that it was not going to honor the original contract. Federal courts have said over and over that when persons in public office violate their oath, that they're warring with the document they swore an oath to. Warring. That's what the federal courts have said, not me. The case will be presented to you. I have the case here in its entirety. He's playing an abstract of conference call that was part of a 12-week educational program for other states, because we found that the other states have the same problem. Their government's not following their law. I have no problem with law. I have no problem with authority. I have no problem with the government, as long as everyone's treated the same and the law is applicable to everyone. And it's been found that it was not here. And I will prove it with the case file from the West Virginia Supreme Court of Appeals. And he said that we are the enemy. Yes, I've said that over and over, and you will be shown two acts of Congress that will prove to you that they declared you the enemy of your own country. And at that point, you then know what went wrong in this country. Because if you're the enemy, the Constitution, the safeguards of it, cannot apply to you. And if they say that you're an enemy, that they're also saying that they're at war, which means that they can go in under emergency powers and declare that the Constitution is not in effect. Now you know why the world looks the way it does now around us. Something's wrong here. That's all I have. Thank you.
First witness, please.
State calls Mark Jarrett.
Please raise your right hand to be sworn. Do you solemnly affirm the evidence you give before the court and jury, before the court and jury in the case of ours shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, ma'am.
Sir, could you state your name for the court, please?
Yes, Mark Jarrett.
And Mr. Jarrett, what's your occupation?
I'm the intel specialist for the Regional Jail Authority of the State of West Virginia.
And in that capacity, what's your experience?
I have 25 years of experience in corrections, and the last five being especially with GTL phone calls and things like that.
And in that capacity, what are your duties?
I monitor and download inmate phone calls, monitor their emails, download or copy their emails when necessary, and monitor their financial transactions.
Are inmates aware that their calls are being monitored?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and can you tell me how they're aware?
Sure. Each jail has either a posted photocopy on the wall or a stencil on the wall that all calls are monitored, recorded, intercepted, disclosed. It's in their rule book when they come to jail. It's on their booking sheet that they initially are asked to review and sign. When they pick up the phone to dial the number, it's there also. It's a recorded message. So there's at least seven times that they're notified their phone calls are recorded.
May I approach witness, Your Honor?
You may.
Will the record reflect I'm showing the defendant what's been marked as State Exhibit Number 1?
Yeah, I would object to that. That's
It's not been sought to be admitted yet.
I see it. Some words, yes.
Mr. Jarrett, I'm showing you what's been marked as State's Exhibit Number 1. Can you tell me what that is?
Yes, sir. That is the stenciling that's right above the phones in North Central Regional Jail, sir.
And when you say phones, is that all phones in Regional?
Yes, sir. From the inmate phones in booking and in each housing unit.
Your Honor, at this time, I'd like to admit what's been marked as State's Exhibit Number 1.
No, I would object to that.
Okay. Basis.
It's a picture of some words. There's no context to show where it's from.
All right. Objection overruled. State's Exhibit Number 1 is admitted.
And in your capacity
with the regional jail, have you had an opportunity to monitor phone calls with Thomas Deegan?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you've already stated that, and can you tell me what jail he's in?
He's in North Central Regional Jail in Dodge County.
And those pictures above the phones, those are in North Central Regional Jail?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Okay. And you said they're also warned that they're phone calls are being monitored on booking sheets, is that correct?
Yes, sir, on their initial intake sheet.
And was Thomas Deegan given an initial intake sheet as well?
Yes, sir, he was.
Okay. May I approach the witness?
May.
We're showing the defendant, the record will reflect Western Market State's Exhibit Number 2. Mr. Jarrett, I'm showing you what's been marked as State's Exhibit Number 2. Can you tell me what that is?
Yes, sir. That is their inmate booking initial population record that when they come to jail, it tells them that how much money that they've come in with and that we've taken their property and stored it away for them and that their phone calls are monitored, recorded.
Okay, so that sheet says that their phone calls
yes,
are monitored?
Yes, sir. It sure does.
Okay.
I have been advised of the following. Number 5 simply states all calls except those to attorneys may be monitored, intercepted, recorded, and disclosed, sir.
And all inmates are presented this form, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And whose form does that belong to?
This belongs to Thomas Deegan, sir.
And did he sign that form?
No, Mr. Deegan refused to sign it.
Okay. Your Honor, at this time I'd like to admit into evidence State's Exhibit Number 2.
Once again, I would object. There's no signature on it. I've never seen it. What else can I say?
All right. State's Exhibit Number 2 is admitted.
And I believe you already stated, Mr. Jarrett, you said you had the opportunity to monitor Thomas Deegan's phone calls, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And were those, can you tell me the system, basically, of how those are recorded?
Yes, sir. The phone calls from an inmate are stored in a database out of the state with GTL, Global Tellink. And the way the system's set up is I have access back 2 years for inmate phone calls, and I'll just send when each inmate comes to jail, they get what we call an offender identification number. And I'll type that identification number into my system, my GTL system, set the parameter dates from week to week of when I want to download inmate phone calls, and it pulls up all the recorded calls except their, it doesn't record their attorney calls, sir.
Okay, and then can you then place those calls that you have on this?
Yes, sir, I'm sorry.
Oh, you're fine.
I'm able to download those onto a separate flash drive and then download them onto a disk.
Okay. And did you do that in the case of Thomas Deegan?
Yes, sir.
May I approach the witness, Your Honor?
You may.
Will the record reflect I'm showing the defendant what's been marked as State's Exhibit Number 3? Mr. Jarrett, I'm showing you what's been marked as State's Exhibit Number 3. Can you tell me what that is?
Yes, sir. That would be a version of Mr. Deegan's phone call, sir.
Okay. And is that a copy of the disc that you made?
Yes, sir.
And is that a fair and accurate copy, a true and accurate copy of the disc that you made?
Yes, sir.
Has it been modified in any way?
Not that I mean, without opening up and looking at it, sir, I don't believe so.
Other than the fact that it has been pared down, taken from the number of phone calls that you had.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And is that the only way it's been modified?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's just been another call has been put on a separate disc that I downloaded originally.
At this time, the state would move to admit State's Exhibit Number 3.
Mr. Deegan?
Nothing's working, so I'm good.
I didn't hear any testimony as to any dates or the numbers on those phone calls or numbers of phone calls.
Mr. Jarrett, as you discussed, this is only, I believe you said this has been pared down, correct?
Yes, sir. It's not the complete disc of phone calls I provided. But it has been taken from that disc.
And in your capacity at the regional jail, Do you listen to and analyze these phone calls?
Not all of them, sir. If I was to sit and do that, that's all I would get done for one inmate. So, no, sir, I don't do that.
Okay. At this point, Your Honor, I'd like to leave it as State's Exhibit Number 3.
Well, I still don't know what's on there.
Right, and I will, I'll have another witness for that, Your Honor.
Okay, well, I'm not going to admit State's Exhibit Number 3 until we know exactly what's on it.
Right, not at this time, Your Honor. I have no more questions for Mr. Jarrett at this time, Your Honor.
Mr. Deegan?
All right, you said that those words were above all the phones in North Central Regional Jail?
Yes, sir.
All phones?
Yes, sir. They're in each section. When we originally put the phone systems in, we only had one phone in each section. Now we have two phones, but it's a pretty good size writing in the day room.
So it's not over each phone?
I can't say that it's over the other phone that we put in. I can't remember that for sure. I do not recall.
Okay, but your testimony was it was over all phones?
It was over all original phones that was in the jails, yes, sir.
But we're not talking about originally. We're talking about as the date of, I'm not even sure when that was taken.
I don't know either. I don't recall.
But I'm sure it was recent. So as of that date, it's as you testified
it's posted in each living area for the inmates.
Okay, but it wasn't over each phone as you had stated.
I don't recall that for sure.
Okay. Okay, now we're talking about, what was it, Exhibit 2? Could I see that?
You can get up and...
No, that's all right. I don't want to do that. Okay. Can the bailiff bring it to me?
No.
Exhibit 2. Okay, that's
it,
fine.
You
that's
can
fine.
Get up and do it.
Now you said that I did not sign it. So, and then you said that I saw it. How do you know I saw it?
I did not say that you saw it, sir. You said you didn't see it.
No. Right. When he showed it to me. So I didn't sign it. So you have no verification that I saw it.
I didn't say you did. That was a sign.
No, I'm asking that you don't have any verification that I saw that specific document.
I don't understand the question.
You can't say that I saw that document, the intake document.
I wasn't there when you was booked in, no, sir.
So you can't say that I saw it?
No, sir.
Okay. Because you did say that I did not sign it.
That's correct.
Okay. And so if I didn't sign it, what would be... okay, that's fine. So when you say I saw it, as I heard you say, were you lying?
I didn't say that you saw it, sir. No, sir, I did not.
Okay. Okay. That's. And these phone calls, the system that records them, how accurate... and verifiable that it's accurate is the system that maintains this database.
Very accurate, sir.
And how do you know that?
Because I've been dealing with it long enough to know how accurate it is.
Okay, so you're an expert in
you could say
digital
that.
Storage?
Yes, sir. You could say that. With inmate phone calls, yes, sir.
I don't even finish asking questions.
Yeah, let him finish asking the question, please.
Yes, sir.
Now, you said that you downloaded I'm not sure of your exact words, but a large volume of calls?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And this disk right here, what does it contain?
I believe it contains one or two phone calls. I'm not sure. I think it's one phone call.
Just one phone call?
Yes, sir.
And you're sure of that, just one phone call?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Fairly sure.
Okay. And do you know the exact date of that phone call that's on there?
No,
that's
sir.
Contained on there?
No, sir.
But you made that disk?
Not that particular disk, as I said, no, sir.
Okay. Did you, or were you the one that narrowed it down from the large chunk of calls to just a few?
No, sir.
Was it somebody that worked for you that did that?
No, sir.
So you just handed over a chunk of calls?
Yes, sir.
And it would have been on a digital format DVD or CD?
Yes, sir.
And who did you hand that over to?
Prosecutor's office here in Wood County.
Which person?
I don't recall. I don't recall. I believe it's Mr. Rogers.
Was it a hand delivery?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it mailed?
It would depend on which one it was, which disc it was, because I've actually hand delivered one since when I come up to court, but I normally mail them.
Which one was hand delivered then?
I don't recall.
So there's not necessarily a chain of custody then?
No, sir.
So that, we don't know if that's what you sent?
Yes, that is what, as I've already stated to you, that is a phone call off the original disc that I sent.
But you said there was no chain of custody.
But no one else in Wood County has access to that system.
But I'm failing to understand. You said you made the copies and sent him the disc.
I made the original disc of your phone calls.
Okay, so the big chunk.
Correct, as I
was
said.
Was made. And then, so you're saying that you didn't narrow it down, that the prosecutor's office did.
That's correct.
Okay. But you can't remember if you delivered directly in hand the original chunk?
Objection, Your Honor. It's been asked and answered.
Overruled. You can answer if you can.
I don't recall whether I hand-delivered or mailed it to him.
Okay. And you don't keep records of that?
Yes, I do. I keep copies of the request in my drawer. Yes, sir.
And that, I'm going to assume that's not here with you today.
That's correct.
Okay, I think that's all I have.
Mr. Jarrett, talking about these pared down calls, you, as I believe you stated, you supply a number of calls, correct?
Correct, sir.
And then is it correct that that disc has been reviewed by you?
Yes, sir.
And you can inform the jury and you can say positively that those are true and accurate copies of the files that you provided to the prosecutor's office?
Yes, sir.
I have no further questions at this time.
Any other questions for this witness?
So, because I have a disc that contains, I don't even know, I'm not sure I could even count that high how many phone calls. And so out of all those phone calls, you can verify that that is a true, accurate, and complete copy of just one or two out of that entire chunk?
Yes, sir.
And how can you attest to that?
Because once I open it up and look at the file number, I can compare it to the file numbers of the ones that I've already downloaded.
That doesn't necessarily mean it's a true, accurate, and complete copy. Digitally, I mean, things can be taken out and numbers, identifying numbers, can be left on a file. And chunks can be taken out, and so I'm. How are you saying that that's a true, accurate, and complete copy of one or two of the phone calls from this chunk of phone calls?
Because there's no way to manipulate it with the GTL system, sir. We do not have access to do that.
Anything digital can be manipulated. So what I'm saying is, how do you know for a fact that the one or two calls on that disc has not been digitally manipulated after it left your hands?
Because when I look at the file numbers, once again, they match exactly to the way I downloaded.
So you're saying that you can't digitally alter the audio portion without messing with identifying numbers on a file?
That's correct.
Okay. That's all I have.
I have no further questions at this time. I may want to recall Mr. Jarrett.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Jarrett. You're excused from the stand and not from further attendance. Next witness, please.
The state would call Trooper Kevin Williams.
you solemnly affirm that the evidence you give before the court and jury in the case of bar shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Sir, could you state your name for the record, please?
It's Trooper K.M. Williams, the West Virginia State Police.
And Trooper Williams, you said you're with the State Police. Can you tell me what you do with the State Police?
I'm currently assigned to the Bureau of...
Please leave that the way it is.
Okay, sir.
Just talk. It'll pick it up fine.
Currently assigned to the Bureau of Criminal Investigation.
And what's your experience with the State Police?
Been assigned to patrol. I've worked for the Criminal Interdiction Patrol team for approximately 3 years, and I've been assigned to Bureau of Charleston for approximately 2 years working a narcotics dog.
And in your duties as a trooper, have you had the opportunity to investigate crime involving a Thomas Deegan?
Yes, sir.
And do you see Thomas Deegan in the courtroom today?
I do.
Can you point him out and describe what he's wearing, please?
He's here to my right, and he's wearing a white-collared shirt.
Will the record reflect the witnesses identified the defendant, Thomas Deegan? The
record may so show.
And Trooper, you said you had an occasion to investigate a crime involving Thomas Deegan. Can you tell me how that started?
We work with several other federal agencies, being either DEA, FBI, Homeland Security, and was contacted in the morning of Tuesday, September 22nd, in reference to a conference they were having at the FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force office here in Charleston, West Virginia.
Okay. And what did you find out?
When I got there, I met with... Senior Agent Hugh Mallett, and among some other intelligent agents that were there, and they advised me of information that they had obtained about a conference call that had taking place on the 14th of September.
And what year was that?
2015.
Okay. And what did you do with that information?
We met with them, and they made me aware of the conference call, how to download it, or where it could be viewed at. And we started doing some intelligence work and went and listened to the recording.
And generally, what was on the recording, on the conference call?
It was, there was a number of people that were on the conference call, shortly after it started, Mr. Deegan got on there and started talking about going to the Capitol. Excuse me. Started going to the Capitol, and they were going to remove by force, if necessary, people that were at the Capitol, being the governor and the other branches, if necessary.
And where was this call at?
It was a conference call. They dialed into a number, and you had to enter a PIN number, and then they would allow you to get in and listen to the conference call, or they could mute you out, or...
And were you part of this conference call?
No, sir, I was not.
Okay. So how did you hear this conference call?
They had posted the conference call.
Who do you mean by they?
People that were involved with the conference call. I'm not sure who actually recorded it and posted it online, but it was posted to hudac.info.
Okay. And is that an open site?
Yes, sir.
You don't need a password to get onto it or anything?
No, you do not.
Okay. So what you had heard on this conference call, did you see those as threats?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and what did you do after you heard that conference call?
We made a phone call to the prosecutor here in Wood County, Mr. Wharton, and advised him of the conference call and how to access the conference call so that he could also listen to it.
So you said the conference call was on hudoc.info. You said an open site. Did you download the conference call?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And was it anything special? How did you do that?
Once it opened up, you could right-click on it and tell it to save as, and it would save it as just a regular document like you would be saving a Word document or any other document that you would type into.
Okay. I approach witness, Your Honor.
The record reflect, I'm showing the defendant was marked as State's Exhibit Number 4.
I'm sorry, State's Exhibit what?
4.
All it says is Egan on there.
Yeah.
I don't know what's...
Okay. Officer, I'm showing you what's been marked as State's Exhibit Number 4. Can you tell me what that is?
It's a verbatim DVR, DV-R 16X DVD.
And does that contain the conference call that you're talking about?
I would assume so. Let me look at the back.
Is this the conference call that you provided to the prosecuting attorney's office?
I provided it on a thumb drive, I believe, to the prosecutor's office. He may have put it on.
Okay. Did you review that disk? Or do you have a copy of the conference call?
Yes, I did.
Okay, but that's not it?
This is not the disk.
Okay, Your Honor, can I have the witness get the copy that he's saying he had?
Did he say he had a copy with him?
Yeah. Yes, have it with you? I'm sorry.
I do have a copy with me.
Okay, you may.
Your Honor, may I step down?
Yeah.
I'm showing you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 4A. Is that the copy that you said you had downloaded and brought today?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and is that the conference call?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And this is... I'm sorry?
This is not marked.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not good at it. And Trooper Williams, you said this is the disk that the conference call that you had downloaded from hudoc.info, is that correct?
It was posted on another open site that directed you back to hudoc.info to download it.
And it came from hudoc.info?
Yes, sir.
And did you review that disk after you downloaded it and put it on the disk?
Yes, sir.
And did you, is it a true and accurate copy of the file that was posted online?
Yes, sir.
And has that copy been altered in any way?
No, sir.
Okay. Your Honor, at this time I'd like to admit what's been marked as State's Exhibit Number 4A.
I would object. I don't have a copy of that I know of.
This is the copy that has been provided to the defendant. It's just a... it's the same information, just different disk, Your Honor.
I have no way of knowing that.
Right. State's Exhibit 4A, is it noted?
And Trooper Williams, in doing your investigation, would you say you can identify the defendant's voice?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and you had already stated that you heard Thomas Deegan on this conference call. Was he the one making the statements about taking over the government, as you stated?
Yes, sir. He had formed some documents that had been mailed. He stated that he'd mailed them and that he had an additional document that they were going to provide and serve on these people.
Okay. And about how long is this conference call?
Approximately 2 hours and 14 minutes.
Your Honor, I would request to publish this to the jury at this time.
Okay. I know we haven't been in here long, but 2 hours is... I'm just thinking it might be best to take a short recess before we get that started.
That's fine. There's some downtime in the middle, too, if you wanted to do it in the middle. I don't have an objection to either.
What do you mean downtime in the middle?
There's a lot of... I'm not saying... There's things that are being said, but there's a lot on the call where they're just talking about the same thing for a while. I'm fine with doing it right now.
Would it cause too much trouble to stop it about a half an hour in? I mean, I don't know the flow.
No, that wouldn't be. If you give me a few minutes either way, I'd make sure it wouldn't stop the flow.
Okay. Well, let's do that. Let's get it started. And
Trooper Williams, is this audio and video or just audio?
It's just audio.
Ladies and gentlemen, just so that you are aware, this disc has now been admitted into evidence, which means that you will be able to take it back into the jury room with you. Well, my understanding is it needs a computer to play it, so we may not be able to furnish you a computer that's clean. So if you want to listen to it is what I'm getting at. If you want to listen to it during your deliberations, you will be able to listen to it again during your deliberations. So don't think that this is the only time that you're going to be able to listen to this disc. If you want to do it other times, you will be able to.
I apologize, Your Honor, some technical difficulties that should be coming up.
To fast forward for 1 minute. Rewind for 1 minute. Press 5 to pause or resume.
Thanks, Tim. Yeah, Tom's on board.
Okay, go ahead.
We have a lot of people on this call, so let's keep phones muted until you're ready to talk, whether it's ask a question or make a comment. And then, especially sensitive or is the function where you use the steeper function, because it makes your microphone more sensitive and picks up a lot more, because normally people are walking away from the phone when they're using that speakerphone function. So try not to use the speakerphone function unless it's critical that you have to. Stay muted until you have a comment or a question. And we're going to get started. We always start with a prayer. And then Thomas is online, Sean's online. So if you have any questions for either of them, feel free to ask at any point. And, you know, we normally have a pretty long discussion period at the end, so don't worry about the time limit on the call. One of these calls, people stayed on for 6 hours, so the time limit isn't a factor on the call. We take as much time as we need to take care of business. So with that, we'll get started with a prayer to lead off. Heavenly Father, we thank you for every patriot who has that interest, Lord, to see this country come back to what it's supposed to be. Lord, we ask for your divine guidance. We ask for supernatural wisdom and supernatural strength, as many are putting in hours that go beyond what people would normally want to work. Lord, there's plenty of people on this call put in 20 hours a day or more sometimes. So, Lord, we ask for that supernatural strength. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Give us an anointing to accomplish the work that has to be done. And let there be a blessing among the enforcement for West Virginia. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Sean, do you want to preface with anything? Especially if there's people that ask about the call. And then Thomas will have explained what's going on with the West Virginia case.
Florida.
Welcome aboard. Sean, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. Sorry, I'm muted.
Thomas, yeah, I know you're there. I was going to have probably ask what the purpose of this call was. If Sean is tied up on something, then we'll just have you start off.
Is Scott here?
Yeah, I'm here. Sean is here. So go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead and give us a preface on what the, you know, the nature of the call is for all the, especially the voices to be on board tonight. And then Thomas will explain the detail of, you know, how all this stuff really came to be. Sean, you want to go ahead?
Yes, I'm sorry. Is everybody talking to me?
Hello?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Crystal
Cornell? Who is special? Am I heard? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, United States Militia Special Operation. I want to thank everybody for coming on board. The message that you're about to receive tonight is very critical for this country. And we have been working, these guys have been working on a lot of things for this country for a very, very long time. And I want to introduce Tom. And what I want to do is have Tom give the message why everybody's been called to this call, why it's so important for every one of you to be on this call tonight as it pertains to our country, our freedom, and a lot that's going on right now. So what I'd like to do is actually go ahead and let Tom give the message, let him speak, and then open it up for discussion, and then I would like to answer any questions at that point in time, if there is any. And I want to thank everybody for being on this call tonight. It's very, very important to hear this message and what we're about to do. This is the chance for the United States Militia Freedom Service, OTVERS, to actually get on board and get with this program and take this country back. The only way that this is going to happen is what these guys have done. Instead of being forceful and extreme, like a lot of people want to do, we're using the legal system to actually gain this country back and knock out a lot of things that are going on and being able to actually legally take this country back. And the message that you're about to hear is the most important message that you'll probably hear in a very long time. And with that being said, sit back, listen, take your notes, save your questions for the end, and we'll open it up for discussion at the end of the call. Go ahead, Tom.
Hello? Hello? I was glad to hear this himself again.
Tom, you got it.
Did you guys hear that? Did everybody copy that?
Hello, ma'am.
Yes.
Hello? Okay. Yes. Just want to make sure that guy is good. Yeah, so let's go ahead and we'll let Tom take the floor. I know everybody's time is very valuable, so let's go ahead and get started, and I'll let Tom take the floor. Go ahead.
Mary Jane?
What happened to Tom?
Oh, my God. They got it.
No.
They got Tom.
Yes, that was weird. Instead of
this is a bitches.
What do you mean they got
Tom?
Natural disasters. You're going to see biological, chemical weapons.